This presentation has been previously broadcast.
The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Massive Russian firepower is arrayed along the Ukrainian border in a high state of readiness. What's not clear yet, has Putin decided to go for a full-scale invasion? President Biden called Putin's actions so far the beginning of a Russian invasion of Ukraine, imposed a round of economic sanctions, promised more to come if Putin further escalates aggression against Ukraine.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome. A lot going on, huh? You've been following the news. I honestly turned on the news early this morning and I had to take a deep breath. Just because when you watch all that's unfolding internationally, when you see what's happening here, when it's tied into our energy policy, when it's tied into all these other things, it can really rob you of your peace and rob you of your spirit. That's not from God. It's not. I said to my wife, you know, we just have to trust in God for all things. Whether or not we're going to see the cost of fuel go up in the States, you know, your heating, your gas, or whether or not food price, whether there'll be cyber attacks, whether or not this will, you know, erupt into a much larger conflict. I don't know. But I just want to say to you today, because I think this is really important for you to hear, be not afraid. God is in control of everything. I often think back after walking through the concentration camps of Auschwitz and Treblinka and some of the other horrible places. I couldn't imagine living in that time and seeing what Nazi Germany was doing and thinking, oh my gosh, look at how they're rolling over state after country after country. And you would think that the end of the world was coming practically, right? Today, I know a lot of people have lost their peace. Don't be afraid. Be at peace. Trust in God. He's in control of everything, okay? I want you to know that. I want you to believe that. And above all, pray. You know, when the Virgin appeared in so many of her apparitions, whether it was in Champion, Wisconsin, or whether it was in Fatima, or the many places that she's been reported to appear across the centuries, it's often a message of conversion. You have to amend your own life, and then you've got to return to God, right? And then to pray especially the rosary. It's one of the great prayers that heaven has given us. And every night at 7 p.m., of course, you can join Father Rocky as he prays the rosary across America. And I think that's a prayer that moves the heart of God. And I think it's one of those powerful spiritual weapons that disengages this type of lack of peace in the world. I invoke the Queen of Peace. I ask her in a special way to intercede today. So continue to pray for Russia. I'll continue to throw that out, and I'll also continue to keep you up to speed on what's happening. If you're saying, hey, I get up early for work, or I'm not really plugged in, or does rob my spirit, I'll give you the thumbnail of what's going down just so you are in the know. Russia has gone into Ukraine, and they continue to, of course, dominate the headlines. You're not going to be able to get away from the story, biggest story of the day. France 24 was reporting that Ukraine's banking and government sites are under a massive cyber attack. And this is a new frontier. I don't want to spend too much time talking about this. I got a lot to get into with you today, but this is a whole nother battlefield, if you will. I think it was Marco Rubio I had heard the other day. He says this has never been done before. We don't know how big this can get. So when we start to launch cyber attacks on other nations, it can escalate pretty quickly. But the fact that Ukraine's banking and government sites are being attacked, it's a pretty good sign that Vladimir Putin is not content with just taking the eastern regions of Donetsk or Luhansk, which, you know, had Russian leanings, and, you know, where there had been a war raging between the two countries for about 8 years. Vladimir Putin wants more. The Russian parliament has given him the green light. They've given him the authority to send troops into foreign countries, which, of course, is just a mere formality. I mean, the Ukrainian government has mobilized now all of its reserve military units, and its parliament has put forward a bill giving all citizens the right to bear arms. So things are ratcheting up. They are heating up. But one final bit of interesting news that I came across, I'll share with you. I saw a conversation last night. It was an interview with Ukraine's foreign minister, Dmytro Kuleba. He brought up a point, and this was striking. You got to remember your history. I go back to after the Berlin Wall collapsed, after communism kind of imploded on itself, all these satellite nations around the USSR, they were fleeing. Ukraine was amongst those, right? In 1994, this foreign minister said the Ukraine abandoned its nuclear arsenal. Not that it wanted to necessarily, but it was getting a lot of pressure from the U.S. I mean, we promised, you know, that we would, you know, protect and at least come to their aid if we needed to. And of course, Russia wanted that as part of the deal too. It's, you know, 500 miles from Moscow. So they had the third largest nuclear arsenal in the world. And they abandoned it for security guarantees, promises from us, from the United States. And they had signed what at the time was called the Budapest Memorandum, where Ukraine agreed to join the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Agreement in exchange for Western protection, right? If Russia became aggressive, we'd get their back. Again, they're not a member of NATO, but these were the promises we made for them, the third largest nuclear arsenal in the world, to give up that weaponry. And I wonder if they had that today, if Russia would be rolling in like it is. But besides us giving them weapons and imposing economic sanctions, you know, that protection doesn't seem to be happening right now. And I just don't want to see the same thing that happened in Afghanistan when we left our translators, we left our troops, we left our citizens. I think we have to be people of our word, even if it comes at a cost. I think you have to be honorable. You have to stand by the promises that you make. It's highly unlikely. I really believe it's highly unlikely that Russia would have even thought of attacking Ukraine if there were still nukes there. And I'm not an advocate for nukes. I'd love to see the world disarmed completely. The sanctions, according to a former official of the Treasury Department, they were pretty much already in place in 2014, and they were enhanced a little bit last year. But you know, we'll see what happens. I hope Ukraine comes out of this okay. Let's continue to pray. One final note too, and I know keep saying that. I heard something else that just struck me. I'll throw it out to you, and I don't know what it means. Emmanuel Macron, who is the president of France, you know, he has been kind of communicating back and forth with Vladimir Putin and, of course, NATO allies. He had said something. I heard one expert, I don't know if it was a general in the army or somebody who knew him. They said in his meetings with Vladimir Putin, he seemed different. He seemed different. I don't know what that means. But it wasn't the normal dialogue, normal exchange, maybe the normal rhetoric that took place. I also just worry about the spiritual import to some of this stuff. You know, what drives this type of behavior and how big it can get. So pray for Vladimir Putin as well. Here in the U.S., of course, we are bracing for three truck convoys, and they are now starting to head to Washington, D.C. An idea, I guess, sparked from the Canadian truck convoy there in Canada. But one of those is supposed to be, as the organizer of this was telling a major news outlet, it's supposed to be like a boa constrictor around the D.C. Beltway. So they plan on keeping, you know, a lane open for emergency vehicles. But if they're trying to get to work, you know what, especially if you're in the area there, you may be out of luck. You may want to plan an alternate route. That's actually supposed to start happening today. I'm only now really beginning to dive into this and follow this a little more closely. I didn't realize today was going to be the day, but the other two are starting from California about a week apart from one another, and they've got the People's Convoy and then the American Freedom Convoy, and they're both aimed at D.C. by the end of the week. Here's what Maureen Steele, the organizer of the People's Steel Convoy, had to say why they're actually driving to D.C., what they intend to do.
The point of the convoy, it's America's answer to our northern neighbors' freedom convoy. It's our answer to their cry for freedom. The truckers' declaration was written a couple weeks ago, and that's gone around on the internet. We want the state of emergency lifted. We want our constitution to reign supreme, and we want accountability. And we want our economy back. The American people, you know, the working man has suffered greatly with the mandates and, you know, small businesses, you know, collapsing, the job market, everything. It's just there's been a lot of suffering that has happened over the last couple of years.
So again, that was Maureen Steele, organizer of the People's Convoy. The American Convoy, of course, is the other convoy underway. One more clip just addressing the labeling of these protests. And here's some of the language of our day, right? Everything is somehow, I don't care what it is, portrayed as being racist. Check this out.
Now, Maureen, as we saw in Canada, there was a lot of disinformation to minimize the message of the truckers up there. They were labeled as racist. A bunch of other buzzwords were thrown around at them. So what type of people do you expect to be joining your convoy?
Well, that wasn't the case in Canada. I know that was what was going around in mainstream media up there, but it certainly wasn't the case. I was on the phone with the Canadians every day, still am. So it was pretty much the entire country that rose up. It was the smallest group that stayed home and didn't participate. It's the same here. We have moms, we have students, we have fathers, we have, you know, immigrants, we have Polish, we have Sikhs, we have Native Americans, Blacks. I mean, every walk of life is being represented in this convoy because it's a slice of Americana, and that's what America is. We're a great melting pot.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how big this will get. I mean, Black Lives Matter, remember those marches? I mean, they were huge. People rallied in major numbers. Will we see the same thing for these trucker convoys? Are people tired? Have they accepted the mandates? Are mandates going away? Capitol Police right now are, they're concerned, and they are already activating the National Guard. Fencing is going to go up around the Capitol again, but part of the reason for that going up now is for, of course, greater security during the president's State of the Union address, which is scheduled for Tuesday. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure this will be, I'm sure these truckers have learned from what happened up north, and I'm expecting a very peaceful protest. We'll see how it ultimately gets covered by our media as well. Yesterday on the broadcast, if you missed it, I spoke about just something very horrific. I saw another story today that kind of complements that. And again, I hate to bring you something that is not, you know, super hopeful or inspirational, but the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, he's actually scheduled a vote on the abortion bill that I talked about yesterday, the so-called Women's Health Protection Act. It has nothing to do with women's health or protection. You know, it should be called the Abortion on Demand Through Birth Act, because that's what they want to do. They want to be able to kill a child on demand all the way up and through birth. And yet Schumer, he wants to see this thing pass. They put this beautiful name on it, Women's Health Protection Act, right? Who doesn't want to endorse that until you really know what it is? And it would put Roe v. Wade into law. That's really the bottom line. That's what the conversation ultimately ended up revealing. So you really need to be contacting your senators and letting them know you oppose the bill. I'll see if I can't track down the number for the Capitol switchboard for you and just tell them to vote no on this. We had Mallory Carroll from Susan B. Anthony list yesterday. And if you missed the conversation, go back to the podcast, relevantradio.com, or go to my show page or where podcasts are held. She said light on this this Women's Health Issue Protection Act. Here's just a real quick recap of part of that conversation yesterday where she explains what this is all about.
Deception is what it is. And this Women's Health Protection Act is actually a renamed and rebranded version of the Freedom of Choice Act, which maybe you or listeners would recall from the early 2010s. And so this is the impact of this legislation would be that if your state has passed any pro-life bill regulating the circumstances around which an abortion occurs. So, limiting abortion when the baby can feel pain, or anti-discrimination laws that protect babies from being aborted because they've been diagnosed with Down syndrome or because they're a girl, even things that are meant to protect women, like informed consent laws and waiting periods to make sure that mothers they have all the information at their fingertips before they go about this procedure, undergo this procedure. This would undo every state law passed up until this point.
So even if you know that they're going to vote for this bill, you say, oh, it's a waste of phone call for me, Drew. Go and let them know that you oppose it. All right. Hopefully you'll send a message. If enough people called, they might think twice. Right. One final story. And then I want to change gears. And thank you. My producer, Maggie, just got me the White House switchboard for you. Here's the number. Jot this down. Take out your cell phone right now. Put it in there and dial this number. It's 202-456-1414. 202-456-1414. And if you can write that down, just call me here and my call screener will pass along to you. 202-456-1414. And you might say, I don't know who my representative is. Just tell them what state you're from and say, hey, I want to talk to my representative about this bill, this Women's Health Protection Act. I wouldn't tell them no. Just say, I just don't want you to vote for her. I want you to defend life. Final life story here, because it just ties into this, and I've got to change gears. In Virginia, the state Senate, and this is, when I saw this story this morning, I thought, this calls down the vengeance of God. Man, do we need to pray? Do we need to fast? Do we need to pray the rosary? The state Senate is going to be voting on a bill called the Infant Born Alive Protection Act. And that bill, like the federal bill of the same name, is going to require doctors to give life-saving care to a child that's born alive. And it seems like common sense. But this bill would be required even if the doctor was actually trying to kill the child in an abortion. So right now, the House there is controlled by Republicans, but the Senate, it's still in the hands of Democrats. So the fate of the bill isn't really clear. It's basic humanity that if you're living and a breathing child in front of you, even if it survives an abortion, you know, you should aid it, right? You can't let it die. We live in a very strange, very macabre time. You think we have it bad? How would you like to live in China? Huh? Wait till you hear what's going on over there. You know, the rewriting of the Bible? Yeah, you heard me right. The Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, as they're known right now, committing genocide. We talked about what's happening with the Uyghur people in the Western provinces. But the wider goal for the CCP is to remake the world according to China. And that includes the world's sacred texts. And yes, the Bible. The Bible is being targeted. Here's a little from Todd Nettleton, a spokesman for Voice of the Martyrs, about the Chinese government's efforts to, well, let's use the word reimagine scripture. Check it.
This is a project that the Chinese Communist Party announced in 2019. Now, at the time, they said it would be about a 10-year process, but to release a new translation of the Bible that is more socialist, that is more Chinese, more culturally Chinese. And so they talked about working in some Confucian principles into it, working in some Buddhist principles into it, and really having this new translation that would really support the Communist Party. They see the gospel, they see the Christian message as something that would take control away from the Communist Party. If a citizen of China wakes up every morning and thinks, how can I serve the party today? How can I be a good communist today? That's what they want. If you wake up every morning and say, how can I glorify God today? How can I serve Jesus today? They see that as a direct threat to their control. And so they have really encroached on the church, and they have a long history of this. They always tried to kind of co-opt Christianity and use it for communist purposes. But they, even in recent years, have taken that a step further. Now it is, you know, your church used to have a picture of Jesus at the front. Let's take that picture of Jesus down. Let's put up a picture of President Xi Jinping. Your church used to sing Christian hymns at the beginning of the service. Let's stop singing those hymns and let's start singing some good Communist Party anthems to start out your gathering. And so this new socialist translation of the Bible is just another step for the Chinese Communist Party as they try to control the church and really co-opt Christianity as a means of controlling the people and helping them serve the party's interests.
They've rewritten the Bible. You know, the scripture passage about the Lord meeting the adulterer and just gets down on his hands and knees, scribbles in the sand. And, you know, it says, let a person without sin cast the first stone. They rewrote it to say that Jesus says, I am a sinner. And then Jesus stones the woman to death. I mean, that's what they're doing here. They are taking crosses down. They've removed crosses from about 1,500 churches across the country. Children under the age of 18 are forbidden from entering churches. Dozens of Catholic priests and bishops have been arrested. Joining me today for Perspectives, Ann Noonan, Executive Director of the Committee for U.S. International Broadcasting, and also she founded the Free Church for China. It's good to have her here with us today. Ann, thank you for your time. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for welcoming me here today.
It's a crazy story. I don't think most Americans are aware of what's going on over there. We've talked about the Uyghurs a lot, but I've been following the persecution. And when it came to the rewriting of the Bible, I thought we should talk about that. I'd love your perspective. Maybe you can paint a picture for us, too, as to what you're seeing unfold there today. And what can we do?
Well, it's been unfolding for years. The crackdown against Catholics in China has been growing, and I had a couple of thoughts since having been invited to speak here today. In 1995, when I went to China for the Fourth World for the Women's Conference, the UN Women's Conference in Beijing, I had attended while I was in China. I attended an illegal meeting on the outskirts, and I met with an underground Catholic bishop, nun, priest, and layperson, and they told about how abandoned they felt as Catholics. This was in 1995. Mm-hmm. How abandoned they felt as loyal underground Catholics by the International Catholic Church. And founding Free Church for China was part of the purpose was to help increase prayer for them, because who knows what the answer is. I'm not a politician or a world leader or hierarchy in the Catholic Church. So what can I do? What can we do as Catholics? And what we can do is pray. Following the World Conference on Women, I was invited to a meeting that followed when former Cardinal McCarrick, Theodore McCarrick, had participated in a delegation to China with world religious leaders from the United States, part of the Clinton administration, to hopefully help China's government leaders learn about how good religion is for people. It just seemed preposterous, and so many things after that meeting that they held in China with leaders there just seemed ridiculous, because of course they know what religion is, and they're not really atheists, they're anti-theists in my view. Not the people in China, but the leaders. People in China want religion. People there suffer incredible martyrdoms going on there now. And they say the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. It certainly is, because Christianity is still growing in China. Loyal Catholics in China, in my view, really, really need our prayer as lay people. The people who are listening to this show right now, I would like to just stop and ask everybody to just please stop what you're doing, and let's say one Hail Mary for the people in China, our Catholic brothers and sisters, clergy, nuns, lay people, families who aren't allowed to have their children baptized, who are being forcibly preventing their children from, or 18 and under, from going to church, from entering a church. Let's say Hail Mary for them right now.
Well, let's do it right now.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed
art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. You know what I discovered? That this month is actually the 50th anniversary of President Nixon's very famous trip to China, which he predicted, would open China to the rest of the world, would help them make them more tolerant of basic human rights. He didn't get that right. What did he and his advisors miss when they made that assessment? Because we see what's happening with the genocide there, and we also see, the culture that and really the ideology that's now being promoted by Xi Jinping and the CCP.
It's interesting. I'd worked with Harry Wu, the founder and president of the Laogai Research Foundation, who was a Laogai survivor. And he had a very, very strong feelings for all of us here in the freer part of the world who weren't subject to the Laogai, the slave labor camps in China, which certainly the Uyghur Muslims or the Uyghurs are well aware of now. In millions of people who are suffering there.
Yeah, right.
But he encouraged people to never forget those, to learn about people who are suffering and to not forget them. And in some regards, opening China, while I think most of us would want to say, stay away from people who are doing bad things. We teach our children that. But Sunday's Catholic Church reading, the gospel reading, was to love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. And I felt such a strength of God's message coming through that especially during this week where we reflect upon Nixon making that move. It's complicated. That doesn't justify what's going on there. But we can't ignore people, because these are people and they have souls. And they have families, and they need to work, and they need things too. And putting another iron curtain around another nation may not be the best thing to do. While so much bad has come from this good has come from it too, because there is still growing faith. People want faith. I think by our nature, people want faith.
Well, I'll tell you what, the people of China are suffering greatly. I'm grateful for what you are doing. I wish we had more time. I'll continue to follow the story, and maybe you and I can talk again, Anne. If people want more information, I guess the best way to connect to you guys is CUSIB.org. Is that the best way?
Yes. Yep.
All right. That sounds great. Again, that's CUSIB.org, the Committee for U.S. International Broadcasting. Thank you, Anne. We'll catch up again.
Thanks very much.
Keep up your good work. All right.
Thank
you.
A lot more.
Thank you. Well, a lot more we can get into, too. Boy, there's a lot. I've only scraped the surface. I only gave you a few tidbits on what people of faith are enduring under the communist reign there in China. But I've got a solution. I have an answer. I have something that can build your faith and bring about a change. I'll share that with you when I return. Stay with me.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
My name is Father Rocky. I'm a priest, and many times people ask me for a blessing. So I say to them, do you want a regular, extra, or super duper? And they always want the super duper. So this year, Relevant Radio is bringing you a super duper series for Lent, the Lenten Lessons on the Mass.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, if you haven't heard about this yet, let me get you plugged in. I was talking about our brothers and sisters over in China that are suffering persecution, a lot of other places around the world. The disunity, the threats of war, you know, the division that we're seeing. What will remedy that? Two things, I think, are incredibly powerful. One, the rosary. You know, the Blessed Mother had come time and time again with that urgent call to pray the rosary. We've seen the effect of it, where communist nations have, you know, collapsed, where militaries, you know, against all strategic purpose, have changed direction, where there have been miracles and healing and answered prayer, and where peace reigned. If you are discontented right now about the division that you're seeing in the world, maybe in your own life, I'd invite you to pray the rosary with Father Rocky at 7 p.m. That's the first thing you can do, all right? I think it's so powerful to bring peace to your family. In fact, I forget what pope it was, Pius XII, or one of the great popes says, if you want peace, you know, in the world, then pray the rosary with your family. You'll have peace in your heart, and then in your community, then in the world at large. The other thing you can do too, and I think this is a great exercise, we're about a week away from Lent. Can you believe that? I was just talking to my wife this morning about, you know, really amping up the spiritual life as well as what we're going to do as Ash Wednesday approaches. That's a week away from today, 1 week away. And one of the things I want to recommend for you, maybe you can talk to your spouse about it or your kids. There is a great series Relevant Radio is developing. They're called Lenten Lessons on the Mass. And you might have seen them. I watched those last year. Well, they're different this year. They're brand new. We've got this beautiful premium edition with high definition video. You won't get it anywhere else. It's just packed with tons of new facts. They're fun. They're bite-sized. You're going to get them in your inbox. So check it every morning and start your day with that. And make that part of your spiritual journey throughout Lent to the Triduum and ultimately to the resurrection. And I thought, you know, rather than me tell you about it, let me invite to the table today, really the genius behind it, the man who will be guiding you in that spiritual journey. And that's none other than our spiritual leader here at Relevant Radio, the Chief Executive Officer, Father Rocky. Father, good to have you with us. Good afternoon.
Hey, Drew, it is great to be with you. And you're right. Lent starts in a week, and everybody usually wants to do something extra for Lent, whether it's prayer or fasting or almsgiving or learning a little bit more about their faith. And so we provide this opportunity for all of our listeners. And this all started, I don't know, about 10 years ago when I was on Facebook early on. One Lent, I decided that my Lenten practice would be to write a short lesson about the Mass each day for Lent. And I'd put that on my Facebook page. And the reason that was a sacrifice for me is I rarely can do 40 things or something 40 days in a row. And I knew if I put it out in public on Facebook, I made a public commitment. So I really had to follow through on it. And I was really surprised how easy it was and how delighted I was to write these short lessons, 300-400 words each. And then I found a picture on the internet that sort of described what I was writing about. And those are the early days of Facebook when, you know, you just got tremendous traction on posts. And they were really popular. I was very, very happy. And then I forgot about it. And then a couple years ago, 3-4 years ago, Damon Schmidt, who's in charge of our digital operations at Relevant Radio, said, "Father, what do you think about sending out this Lenten lessons on the Mass to our listeners? We can ask them to sign up by email." I said, "Well, I think it's a great idea, but I have no idea where those are. They're probably lost in the cloud somewhere in the cloud of Facebook." He said, "No, I kept them." I said, "You what?" He said, "Yeah, I kept them. I kept every single one, and I've got copies of them and the pictures." I said, Well, that's great. That makes my life easy. I don't have to redo them. So I think the first year we get about 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 people signed up for them. And then the next year we promoted it more, and we had like 30,000 people sign up for them every day. And then last year, you know, our expanded marketing team said, "Hey, you got to make videos about this." And I said, "You know, we don't do video. I don't have the time." Anyway, they cornered me. I said, "Look, I've got 2 days, 2 hours at each afternoon. Bring the cameraman in, and I'll just talk about the Mass, and then you can divvy it up into lessons." And so that was that. What happened is we recorded 40 videos, and I only got through halfway through the Mass. Wow. So everybody said, "Well, what about the rest of the Mass?" So this year, we've taken last year's videos, and we've edited them, and we produced 25 more videos. We have a complete set for every part of the Mass from the beginning to the end of the Mass, and they're filmed in high definition video, great audio, great lighting, and you can be the judge for yourself of whether or not they're helpful and instructive. But for me, it was a delight to do it. For me, it's easy to do it because I've celebrated the Mass since I was ordained as a priest 30 years ago, probably more than 10,000 times. And I'm happy to share this with people because I notice many times that people really don't know what's going on in the Mass. They don't have a missalette. They don't have a prayer book in front of them. Maybe they aren't regular Mass goers. And so that's going to be what we're going to offer to our listeners this year. I think we'll have over 130,000 people signing up for them every day. And then when we play them at the bottom, the top of the hour, the audio version, you know, millions will hear that. And it comes back to something I discovered years ago as a priest, that many people leave the church. They used to go to the leadership camp as chaplain every summer down in Indiana. Two camps, one for 5th and 6th grade boys, the other for 7th and 8th grade boys. And I'd celebrate Mass from every morning outdoors in the pavilion. It was like a Boy Scout camp, so perfect for summer camp for boys. And the first day I would ask, you know, "How many of the boys here are Catholic?" They'd all raise their hand. And I said, "How many will you die as Catholic?" And they all kept their hands up. I said, "I'm glad you are saying that now as 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-olds. But things happen in life, and some people don't persevere in their faith. And so you got to practice it. You know, the more you practice it, the better you go." And so I made it my goal to teach them very much about the Mass and everything about it. So if you learn it about your faith, then you can live it. If you live it, you'll love it. If you love it, you won't leave it. So it's really important to learn a lot about our faith. Why, what, when, where, how. We're trying to answer those questions for our listeners in all of our shows. And it's true, you cannot love what you do not know. So when we ring the bells, what's that all about? Why do they ring the bells when the priest puts his hands over the bread and the wine, the gifts? Why do they call that the epiclesis? Is that an English word? Is that a Latin word? Is it a Greek word? And what does it mean? And where's the Holy Spirit in all of this? And why are there two colors of ink on the pages of that book that the priest read? One is black and the other is red. Why do they call them rubrics? Because the word ruber is Latin for red. And what we do in the Mass is we read the black and we do the red. Again, with Mass, it's you get out of it what you put into it. So this year, the Lenten Lessons of the Mass, the premium edition filmed in high-definition video. They're expanded and complete, 40 lessons. You'll get them to your email box every day. You can watch them when you want to, either in the morning or at lunch and afternoon. You can watch it on your laptop, on your desktop, on your Kindle, on your smartphone. Or you can beam it up to the big screen TV in your house through a Chromecast or Apple TV or whatever the gizmos you have out there. We're happy to do that. And then you can share it with friends, and you'll have a very productive Lent. And if you do this by the end of Lent, you'll have a greater hunger for the Lord and the Holy Eucharist, a greater understanding, and you'll be a better follower of Christ and a better Christian. So that's what we're up to. Well, and you know how you can get it? Go to our website, relevantradio.com, and just sign up for it right there. All you have to do is give us your email address, and or you can go to our app and sign up for there. And then if you're a Catholic school teacher, like elementary school, these would be perfect for your students who are like anywhere between 3rd grade and 12th grade. Now, a lot of older people love them, too. I mean, how many people have told us, I've been a Catholic my whole life. I never knew about those things. Why didn't anyone ever explain it to you? Well, because we didn't have relevant radio before. Now we do, and now we're doing it. And that's the answer to that.
Yeah, I really think that's the case, Father. You go there and you think about all the things that you cover in this. And, you know, people don't know necessarily what the garments you wear mean or why you do what you do at particular times during the Mass. Mm-hmm. I think it's such a great educational experience. The thing I love about it, it's so short. I mean, it's bite-sized nuggets, and you can learn something new every day. And as I said in the very beginning, I think it's a great way to deepen your appreciation of the Mass, especially during Lent. And as you know, the bishops are, you know, initiating this revitalization of the Eucharist. And if you understand the Mass, you're going to appreciate it in a more deep, a little more deeply, and you may be able to participate in a richer way. Now, I'm curious, because I know that, you know, this is on video. What if somebody just wants to listen to audio or read? Do you also have those posts up so somebody can read them or share them with others?
Well, they can just read it. Yeah, that's a good question. You can just read the script I send every day. That's kind of the bite size of the bite size. And it's right there. You know, it's a short read. It's a one-minute read. But it's really got a lot of stuff in it, yeah. A lot of content. Or you can watch the video. If you're in the car, you will hear the text of what I wrote at the top and the bottom of the hour. That'll go out to millions and gazillions of people. But to watch the video, you do need to sign up for that. And I think it's right in your wheelhouse. You know, they're 1 to 3 minutes, and you do that every day. That'll be a great Lent. It'll be a great Lent.
Well, I love it. I know that you've got a full day here, but I'm curious as to what one of your favorite lessons is. Is there anything that people will find particularly interesting? I know there's some behind the scenes insights.
Oh, I got a lot of
little known secrets.
I mean, I got a lot of them.
I don't want to have to spoil all the surprises. Anything that really that you liked thought was fun?
Yeah, I like my interpretation of why we say during the Confiteor, which is the prayer, I confess to Almighty God, why we say my fault 3 times. My fault, my fault, my most grievous fault. Because at one time they had translated that into English as just one time saying my fault, because they say if you repeat it 3 times, that's repetitive. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, some things are worth repeating. Like Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. You know how that starts, Drew? It goes, da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And then what does he do? He repeats it.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da. And then what does he do? He repeats it, da 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 da. So it's the same phrase in different modalities, different tonality, and it's the whole first opening of the symphony. No one would say, "Hey, it's too repetitive. He should just go da 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 da." Or I was once at a football game in the skybox at Soldier Field, and it was the Chicago Bears against the Green Bay Packers. It was like Monday Night Football, and the Bears were behind, and it was a kickoff to Devin Hester. He was deep in the end zone, right?
Oh, wow.
My golly, he ran the whole thing back. Everybody was on their feet screaming, run, 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 run. They repeated that word about a million times until he got down to the end. Nobody stood up and say, run, and just once and say, don't repeat it. That's being repetitive. All right. So I said, some things are worth repeating. It's my fault. It's my fault. It's my most grievous fault, which is the exact English translation from the original Latin. I'm blessed, I think I could say I'm blessed that I know Latin and I can read the text in Latin. Latin is it's a fascinating language. One of the great things about Latin for liturgical songs is they never change, right? So if I'm the priest leading benediction or some hymn and I sing from memory the version I know in English, likely the people in the pew with the missalette have a different version of it. Right, and I explain this. All right, so, you know, I could go on and on. You could do 4,000 Lenten lessons on the Mass, but there's only 40 days in Lent. I hope everybody signs up. It's free. Go to relevantradio.com or Relevant Radio app and sign up. Why is it free? Because Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give.
And I'll tell you, and you know what they should do too? Share it with somebody else. Share it with somebody else this Lent too. So go download it, participate in it, give it to your kids, give it to your spouse, give it to your coworkers. Get people plugged in. It's a great way to evangelize. It's a great way to
give it to non-Catholics.
Yeah, that's right.
Give it to non-Catholics. You're curious, what do you guys do?
Yeah,
just watch it.
Father, before I let you go, though, I know you pray the rosary every evening as well. And why don't you get people plugged into that, too? In fact, stay with me. I take a short break. You know how this works here. When we come back.
All right, we'll do that.
Because I was talking before you came on just a little bit how critical the rosary is and historically how it has defeated atheistic communism and has worked wonders and why we need it, I think, more than ever today. So if you love the chaplet, we're going to pray that in about 15 minutes here. I'd love to have you join me and get you plugged into another gift. I hold the rosary in one hand and the chaplet in my other. I pray both of these prayers. Get you plugged in to how you can join Father right after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Tell one friend about the Chaplet of Divine Mercy.
I'm not holding a small cup, Drew. I'm holding an extra large cup.
A bucket.
Every weekday at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's good to be with you today. If you're just tuning in, we'll pray the chaplet coming up in about 10 minutes. I'm joined by our Chief Executive Officer, Father Francis Hoppen. You know him as Father Rocky. He prays the rosary across America every evening at 7 Central, 8 Eastern, and I hope you can join him for that. He's launched a new series on the Mass, too, and I hope you'll check them out. They're Lenten Lessons of the Mass. You can go to relevantradio.com. You can go to the mobile app. You can sign up for that and get plugged in, or you can join Father tonight and pray the rosary, and you know you have a need or an intention. He'll be glad to intercede for you as well. Father, for those who may not be familiar with the rosary, I thought this would be a great opportunity for you just to put it on the radar.
Sure. Well, the rosary is a very simple prayer. It's a very Catholic prayer because it's made up of three basic prayers. The Our Father, which is known as the Lord's Prayer. Every Christian knows that, whether they're Catholic or not. The Hail Mary and the Glory Be. And when Pope Francis was elected as Pope on March 13th, 2013, he invited everybody to say a couple of prayers with him. He said, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be. These are the very basic prayers. Even a four-year-old can know those prayers. Right. And so that's what the rosary is made up of. And then we call to mind some of the events of the life of the Holy Family and especially of Jesus. And we categorize them in three or four areas. Joyful events, glorious events, sorrowful events, and light-giving events. Those are called the luminous mystery. So every night at 7 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Sunday, we have the Rosary on Relevant Radio. Monday through Friday, it's live and interactive with phone calls. And Saturday and Sunday, we just read the prayer intentions that we got that week as we get thousands of them in the email every week. And we get, I'm going to say tens of thousands each week through our social media, Facebook and YouTube. So it's a simple prayer, and we can pray. You don't have to be Catholic. And I remember when we had the opportunity to start the Family Rosary Across America live back in 2000, I think it was 18. I think it was 2018, after we'd had the merger with Mac at Heart Radio. Mm-hmm. And Father Heaney, Dave Heaney from California, Southern California, St. Bruno's Church, was able to lead the rosary every night with Karen Moran. And they did a great job. And then a year and a half later, when COVID shut everything down, I moved up to Green Bay so we could have the Mass for our audience every day at noon. And people are really tremendously grateful for how Relent Radio supported them during that initial couple scary right. months of COVID. And I figured, well, you know, I can't travel. I might as well do the rosary here in the evening from the chapel, and we might as well put it on video because we had the capacity to do that through Facebook and YouTube, and that just took off like crazy. And so now we have over 100,000 people join us every night during that half hour for the Family Rosary Across America. We get people calling in from all over the country, literally all over the country, and states where we don't even have stations, right? And it's live, and I say that, hey, if you're listening now, it's Monday through Friday, this is live. This is, we don't do encores of this. We don't rebroadcast. Mm-hmm. It's live. It's happening right now. And then I'll say, and you might just be discovering this radio station, and you're thinking, what on earth is going on here? What am I hearing? I said, you're just listening to a bunch of crazy Catholics who get together every evening to pray the rosary, and you don't even have to be Catholic to pray the rosary. You don't even have to be Catholic to call in with your prayer intention. We pray for each other and their needs. We pray for our country. We pray for our church. We pray for all sorts of things, right? Mm-hmm. And what we've seen is you've seen this with the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It's really powerful. These prayers are answered. They're really kind of miraculous healings and cures and solutions to unsolvable problems. And I think it's because the more people praying at the same time, the more powerful those prayers. It really gets God's attention. And he can work miracles, and he does work miracles. And sometimes we ask him just like that, Jesus, we need a miracle. What I really like about the rosary, Drew, is I'm able to say the name of Jesus out loud on air on 198 AM and FM stations every night 53 times. Because, you know, one day I die, and I'm going to be facing the Lord, and he'll say, well, what do you have to say for yourself? I said, well, we got your name out there like a gazillion times. Does that count for something? That's you know, awesome. And I think his mother might be standing there and said, yeah, it counts for something. He give him a seat in the back, right? I might get That's a seat awesome. In the back, I hope, right? It's as simple as that. It's really powerful. And I tell people, hey, if I don't show up, why should you show up?
Yeah.
Right? So I try to show up every single night, and I'm happy to do so. And keep your fingers crossed, because right now I'm working down in Florida for the month, and you know, you got to look for a cell phone tower that has good bandwidth or Wi-Fi, and right. you got to coordinate this with the Park Ridge Studios and the Green Bay Studios and a lot of other things, but so far so good. We've been able to do it.
I love it. Well, Father, everyone can join you tonight, 7 Central, right here on Relevant Radio, or of course on the app, or you know, on YouTube, and I hope they'll do that. Enjoy the weather there in Florida, and thanks for what you do. We look forward to Lenten lessons, and of course we'll be praying with you a little bit later.
I hope to enjoy it on the weekend. During the weekend, I'm pretty darn busy.
I can imagine.
yeah, but that's okay. It's good stuff. Thank you, Drew.
All right.
I love your show. You're doing great work, and thanks for letting me be on.
Thanks, Father. Always good to talk to you. That's Father Rocky. Check out the Lenten lessons. I'll remind you one more time. Lenten lessons, you can get them at relevantradio.com. You can also plug into his rosary tonight at 7. Coming up in a minute, we will pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy as well. I just want to follow up on what Father was saying there regarding the Mass. You know, St. Faustina, she had all these incredible experiences with our Lord, especially in the Eucharist. And I remember one time she wrote in her diary, I think it's diary entry 914, where she talks about the awesome mysteries that take place during the Mass. And she says, in her diary, she says, a great mystery is accomplished in the Holy Mass. With what great devotion we should listen and take part in this death of Jesus. She says, one day we'll know what God is doing for each of us in each Mass and what sort of gift he's preparing for us. Only his divine love can permit that gift be provided for us. And she says, Jesus, oh Jesus, With great pain is my soul pierced when I see the fountain of life gushing forth with such sweetness and the power for each soul, while at the same time I see souls withering away and drying up through their own fault. Grant through the power of mercy to embrace these souls. She says when souls go to Mass, when individuals go to Mass, not everyone who attends Mass gets the same amount of grace. She says it's really dependent upon the individual's disposition. That's actually a teaching of the Catholic Church. If you go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, you'll find that. I think it's 2042. I was reading it a little bit earlier. When you attend Mass, you're plugged out. You're reading your cell phone. You're reading the bulletin. You're going up, receiving the Lord like he's a dead object. You really do yourself a disservice. You're not getting the grace that the Lord wants to give you. Not everyone who attends Mass receives the same amount of grace and is really dependent on your disposition, your openness to receiving that grace. You know, Faustina wrote about that as well. She talked about the Lord. The Lord actually used those words. He says, people approach the altar as though I'm a dead object. That's terrible. During Mass one time, she saw our Lord nailed to a cross. She saw his crucifixion, and he was tormented. He was in great pain. And she said she heard a soft moan issue from deep within his heart. And after some time, he turned to her and he said, I thirst. I thirst for the salvation of souls. And he said, help me, my daughter, to save souls. Join your sufferings to my passion and offer them to the Heavenly Father for sinners. At Holy Mass, think about that. Offer your sufferings. Thank the Lord as we relive Calvary. We're about to pray the chaplet now. We'll offer our Heavenly Father the body, blood, soul, and divinity of his Son. Join me.